Welcome to Monday's edition of Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. I'm Jason Hernberg, and today we begin an excellent series on music and the mind. Have you ever thought of how music plays such a big role in our day-to-day lives? Whether it's through the music on the radio, TV, or the sounds from your latest feature film, music does have a great effect on all of us. Author, lecturer, and composer Brian Newman will begin an in-depth study into how music affects us and how, from a biblical perspective, we can gain wisdom in choosing good music for the glory of God. Brian Newman is an ex-rock musician from South Africa and has done extensive research into the language of music. Brian has just come back from a California tour where he has lectured, and we are happy to have him in studio as he shares these important messages on music, the media, and music in worship. As music is one of the most influential parts of our lives, it should be a desire for every Christian to want biblical understanding into the language of music. So now, let's begin as Brian Newman, for the next few weeks, presents a series entitled Voices of a Dying Planet.
We've entitled our series, Voices of a Dying Planet. And the reason why we have entitled it Voices of a Dying Planet is because we are living in a time in the history of this world where we are being influenced daily by the different sounds and things that surround us. The sounds that come in through the media, through music. And if you consider amazing variety of sounds that surround us, whether it be through the media, through the advertising industry, in other words, people trying to sell their wares and products to us, or whether it be through the movies that we may go to, or the soap operas and things we watch on television, whether we be walking through the mall and we hear music playing in shops. Wherever you go, you are surrounded by sound. Music, particularly, because music is one of those things that underlines just about every single form of advertising which we have. Barring a few, of course, but generally music is there to create the atmosphere and draw the attention of the person to the product that is being sold. And indeed, our main focus for our series is going to be on music. But first of all, we start with the media as such, in which music plays a very important role. And then if you consider all the other sounds that surround us, the sounds of war, of suffering, that we are exposed to, again, very often through the media as well. And if you go into the cities, the noise of the construction workers and drills and cars really gives us an indication that we are living in a time in the history of this world where the very voices are saying to us, the sounds are saying to us, that we are living at the very end of time as we know it on this planet. I'd like to start off by posing a question, and that is, what is the most communicative language that is known to man? Now indeed, we know that we communicate through our different spoken languages, whether it be English or French or German or Spanish or Chinese, whatever it may be. But according to musicologists and those who have done a lot of research into the language of music, they tell us that music is the most communicative language. And with a bit of common sense and thinking about it ourselves, without even the scientific or musicological research, we know that music crosses all our cultural and our linguistic barriers. We all understand music and we all relate to music on a particular level. Of course, what we need to discover, and this we will do through the process of our study, is how do we relate to music when it comes to our different cultures? For example, does somebody in Africa or in another culture relate to the language of music completely differently to what you and I may, who live in a Western culture? Some people would, for example, say that how we listen to music, how we understand music, is generally determined by our upbringing, our environment, And of course that relates back to culture as well. Some say that it is only the words that can either affect you positively or negatively in music. All these things are things we have to look at and discover in our journey that we are going to do in the different programs which we are going to present. But here's an interesting statement regarding the language of music by a man, Johann Sebastian Bach, a very famous classical composer. Speaking about music, his philosophy was this. He said, "The aim and final end of all music should be none other than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul. If heed is not paid to this, it is not true music, but a diabolical bawling and twanging." So Johann Sebastian Bach thought that, and indeed he probably is echoing some of the concepts that Paul echoes as well, and that is that when we present our music, when we are doing our music, we should approach it in a way that can honor and glorify God. Paul writes, for example, in 1 Corinthians, he says that whether you eat or whether you drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And ultimately, those things which we take in through the avenues to the soul are either going to affect us positively or negatively. They're either going to refresh us, they're going to draw us nearer to God, they're going to have a cleansing, ennobling effect on us, or, depending on what you are taking in, it is going to have a destructive effect on you and I. And if it is not music that is elevating, it will ultimately be, as Johann Sebastian Bach says, a diabolical bawling and twanging. Of course, this is not only with regards to music, but it's regards to everything that we are allowing to come into the soul, or as the Bible calls it, the body temple. And maybe it would be a good idea for us to look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 16 to 19 says, in the words of Paul, regarding the body temple. Some very important advice that is given here. And I believe that to a large extent today, even those who claim to be Christians are not considering like they should what it actually means to be the body temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Paul here, of course, he is speaking to the Corinthian church, those who claim to be Christians, who claim to have surrendered their lives to Christ. And so he poses a question, first of all. He says, "Don't you know that you are the temple of God? You, who call yourself a Christian, you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, dwells in you." And of course, when we give our lives to Christ, it means that we are surrendering ourselves, body, mind and soul, totally to God. And as a result, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. He goes on to say, though, and he gives us a warning. He says, "If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy." So he's saying, don't you know you're the temple of God? And beware, be careful, in other words, he's saying here, that if you defile the temple of God, in other words, if you bring things into this body temple through the avenues to the soul, one could say, and if they have a negative effect on the body temple, in other words, if you are defiling it or destroying it in any way, that the penalty will be, and that is that God will destroy you. Because, Paul says, the temple of God is holy. Now this is a very, very important thought to consider. Paul, of course, here, as is clear, talking about the body temple. And he's saying the reason why this is such a serious issue is because this body temple is holy. And why is it holy, we may ask? Well, it is holy, as Paul says, because the Holy Spirit is living in the body temple. That is why it's holy. In the olden days, the time of the children of Israel, when they had the earthly sanctuary, which was patterned after the heavenly sanctuary, which was built, the Shekinah glory of God dwelt above the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. That temple was considered holy, and nothing that was defiling should have entered or could have entered into that body temple, into that temple rather, without being destroyed. Anything that came into the presence of that which was holy, of God, which was of God, was destroyed. And today it's very easy for us to say, well, there's nothing out there that, I mean, I'm not being destroyed. I'm taking in all kinds of things through the avenues to my soul, but I'm not being destroyed. I'm still alive. I'm living. Well, first of all, there are a few things to consider. You may be already in the process of destroying the body temple through those things which you are taking in. But ultimately, in spite of the fact that you may not be experiencing the punishment now, the penalty now, sooner or later, you will have to pay the penalty for destroying the body temple, and that indeed will come. Because Paul says, don't deceive yourself, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. So he's saying, you may think that you are wise in this world. You may think, hey, it doesn't matter which I take in. The world seems to be suggesting today that anything goes. Basically, all the things which we are taking in are neutral. But he's saying, don't listen to the wisdom of the world, because the wisdom of the world is foolishness in the eyes of God. And the question may be asked is, in whose eyes would you rather be wise? In the eyes of those people that surround you every day, the world in other words? Or would you rather be wise in the eyes of God? And of course the question, or the answer to the question, comes very clearly to the Christian. And this is indeed the sentiment that Paul was trying to communicate to the Corinthian church. And that is, no, I would rather be wise in the eyes of God, in spite of what the world may think. Paul says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For it is written, that he, God, or rather he says before that even, he says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, and then he says, for it is written, that he, God, taketh the wise in their own craftiness. You see, the world cannot perceive or understand the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot appreciate it, the man of the flesh. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14, Paul says that the natural man, that is the man of the flesh, the man who has the mind of the world, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Neither, he says, can he know them. They are indeed foolishness unto him, because they are spiritually discerned. So the challenge of Paul comes and it says, we need to have the spiritual discernment, the spiritual vision, the spiritual eyesight. And it may be that when you surrender your life to Christ, when you give your life to him, that the world, and you start perceiving things in the way that God considers wisdom to be, that the world may think that you're a fool. But the reason is because they don't have the spiritual eyesight. And Paul is saying that we need to approach this concept of the body temple from the perspective of God and not from the perspective of the world. There are five avenues to the soul. And what we allow in through the five avenues, or the five senses, will determine whether we are positively or negatively influenced. Another principle is taught in Scripture, and that is, by beholding we become changed. The principle, and that is, if we behold God, we become changed into his image. In other words, if we behold those things which are representative of that which is holy, pure, and elevating, according to the principles that we read in Scripture in Philippians 4 verse 8. You know the Scripture where it says, whatsoever things are pure, noble, elevating, just, of a good report, praiseworthy, honorable, and so on. Paul says, of course, there that we need to occupy our minds with those things. If those are the things that we are beholding, in other words, taking in through the body temple, then it is going to have a positive effect on us. All the things we take in every single day of our lives, through all these different avenues, and let's have a look at the avenues, through the avenue of smell, taste, touch, sight, or hearing, all those things that we are taking through, those avenues either have a positive effect, will determine what kind of person you become. Will you be elevated and ennobled? Will your character be shaped according to the biblical definitions and parameters? Or will it be shaped according to the definition of parameters and parameters that are considered by the world to be the right ones? Very important question to ask. And as Christians, we need to determine, and this is part of our study, to determine that which is from God and that which is from the world, and know the difference between the two. As the Bible says, teach my people to know the difference between that which is sacred and that which is profane. And that is an important thought to bear in mind. It is interesting when you consider the way in which the media is influencing us today. And of course, in this next segment in our study, I want to look more specifically at the media. We will look at music in more detail. It underlines all the different media, as we've mentioned. But I want to more specifically look at the media now in general terms and find out what kind of science and what kind of philosophy is motivating the media. How do they reach you and me every day and cause us to go out there and buy the different products and that which is being advertised and being sold? You know, a lot of people think that they are making decisions for themselves every single day. That you are managing your life. You are managing all the things that you do every single moment of your life. But is it indeed true that you are the one who is in control in the kind of society which we are in today? Or is it perhaps true that society is really manipulating you and me through the media into behavioral patterns and all kinds of things that we are doing every single day of our lives? There is a man by the name of Wilson Brian Key. He's known as the world's foremost authority on subliminal persuasion, and we will discuss in more detail what subliminal persuasion is. But he reveals in the book, The Age of Manipulation, he reveals how it is that the media actually manage your mind through commercials, printed ads, and music. And of course, what we want to reveal is how you can protect yourself. He is saying to us that you do not really manage, you are not the one who is in control. The media actually is suggesting concepts and ideas to you all the time and trying to persuade you to buy those things, and because they are using it on a very emotional level, in other words, persuading you on the level of emotion, that you are actually being manipulated by them to go out there and purchase the product. In other words, to do and to behave the way, whether it's through fashion, whether it's through printed material, through foodstuffs, whatever it may be, the media is used all the time to control you. And of course, music underlines all these, because music is a language which really expresses human emotion. It taps into an emotion, it sets an atmosphere, and thus stimulates you in a particular direction. And it is of course important to notice that everything that you take in through the media, through any of the avenues to the soul, is permanently planted in the subconscious brain. Those messages that you are taking in are stored and recorded there permanently, to be recalled, to be brought up at some or other time. If you are, let's ask the question, if you are continually taking in negative information, in other words, if you are focusing on those, you know, on harsher information all the time, the negative aspects, things that do not conform to the principles that Paul has already outlined, that we've suggested in Philippians 4 verse 8, pure things and so on. If those things are being planted into the brain, your character is going to be developed according to that which you have been taking in through the avenues to the soul. But if you are taking in things that are pure all the time, if you are protecting, in other words, the avenues to the soul, then your character is going to develop according to those things that you are taking in that are positive. You see, the body temple principle very clearly is a very important one. And at the end of our little presentation now, the first one which we are doing in this series, I want to impress upon you very strongly that we need to once again consider what we are allowing to come in through the avenues to the soul. In our next session, we are going to look at what Wilson Bryan Key shares with us regarding how the media actually manage your mind. In fact, Wilson Bryan Key was is a man who has been involved in many of the promotional campaigns for presidents running for office in the United States and showing them how they could get the most benefit out of using the media and advertising to promote their campaigns and to, of course, ultimately to get the votes which they need to win the campaign that they are running for. So Wilson Bryan Key is certainly no monkey in this area of media manipulation. And what we're going to look at is the whole philosophy and science that motivates this industry and how you and I, from a biblical perspective, can actually protect ourselves against the things which are coming in every single day through these different avenues. And so may God help you as you consider these thoughts, and I look forward to our next meeting when we are going to study into these very, very, and I might stress, most important aspects that we have already begun to look into. Thank you, and may God bless you. Bye-bye.
It's interesting to note how much money people are actually willing to pay to advertise their products in the media. For example, did you know that the average price for a 30-second commercial being aired during the 2003 Super Bowl was $2.1 million? If we really weren't being manipulated to buy certain products through the media, you would think someone would tell those companies to stop wasting their money. But in reality, it is working, and we as Christians have a responsibility to guard our body temple from negative influences that could move us away from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you'd like a copy of today's message, please call Amazing Discoveries at 1-866-572-9457. That's 866-572-9457. And be sure to mention today's date. Brian Newman will be with us for the next few weeks, and we are happy to share a resource that points to Jesus Christ by offering Brian's personal testimony in a book entitled From Rock and Roll to Rock of Ages. The book shares Brian's story of how God brought him out of the world into a personal relationship with Jesus, and how his life has changed from a worldwide rock star to a worldwide ambassador for Jesus Christ. The book is only $11 US and also provides many insights into choosing good music and how worldly music is affecting the Christian way of life. To obtain a copy of this book, please call us toll free at 1-866-572-9457. That's 866-572-9457. Or check out our web store at www.amazingdiscoveries.org. For those wishing to write, please send your comments or donations to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3. For those in the U.S., please write to Box 4480, Blaine, Washington, 98231. We are happy to share a song arranged and produced by Brian Newman himself, entitled Give Me Jesus. I'm Jason Herberg. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
was my cry. Dark midnight was my cry. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You may have the world. Give me Jesus. Just about the break of day. Just about the break of day. Just about the break of day. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
You've just been listening to Brian Newman with a song entitled, Give Me Jesus. Brian Newman is touring the US and Canada this fall, sharing his research and insights on music in a number of churches across the country. If you have enjoyed his presentations on the radio, we would greatly appreciate your kind donations to help finance the music series, Voices of a Dying Planet, being brought to North America in November. Brian's series have been a blessing to many in the past, and we thank you for being a part of bringing that blessing to others with your donations. Your tax-deductible donations can be sent to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3, or call us at 1-866-572-9457. Again, your donations are tax deductible, and you can even call us with a Visa or MasterCard number for quick processing of your donation. Brian's message is a vital one and needs to go out to all churches around the country. If you are interested in booking Brian Newman for a music series in your church, please call the office at 1-866-572-9457.